All right, we are plugged in and ready to rumble. You're listening to the Crass Files podcast with Adam, and it's Wednesday, the 7th of December, 2022. Unbelievable, time is flying, huh? Jay Wilderness is plugging in with me tonight, so always good to have Jay on to chat about all the latest and break down everything that we are seeing. Jay's coming to us from the UK tonight, so always good to get his perspective on what he's seeing in his neck of the woods as we look at the world around us as we move into 2023, folks. Unbelievable, huh? How fast time is just whizzing by, and what an incredible couple of years it's been. And Jay's been putting up some really mind-blowing videos, helping to get people on board here on deck, and getting them to question this so-called reality around us that's been built around us, you know. It really is unbelievable times, but it's positive times as well, and we try to stay positive as we work everything out and keep researching and sharing information and doing what you think you are good at. And we're going to talk about this tonight a little bit more, how we can kind of what we're seeing as we move forward into another year of 2023. And it's going to be a really incredible year, folks. So I would say thanks to all the listeners out there who have been on deck with us for all of this year, and listening to the podcasts and sharing them and emailing. It's been awesome. And I know Jay has been so incredibly busy doing his video content and working as well, and getting those videos out there for people to share and talk about and get the discussion rolling. It's been a really good. We're doing audio podcasts here, and I'm doing my website. Jay's doing his videos and putting on YouTube and everywhere. And it's just amazing how much, you know, how far we can circulate all of our information and just keep that conversation going. And we want to continue this into the next year. And there's a lot of censorship of alternative media, of course, but we just keep pushing through. We don't let it get to us. We just keep talking and blabbing away. That's what I do. I don't shut up. And I will continue forward. Absolutely. Everything's up on my website, crassfiles.com. Enjoy, folks. Contact me through the website anytime, of course. And there's plenty going up. Lots of podcasts and info. It's a big website, so enjoy that. And I hope people out there are enjoying the podcast as well. This is Real Alternative Media here in Sydney, Australia. I do this by myself. Absolutely by myself. So I don't answer to anyone. I do what I want. And Jay is the same. He's doing what he wants to do. And this is where we can have an open forum and discussions moving forward. And it's really important to do so. And support is critical for Jay and myself as well. And I'll put up all Jay's relevant information with the podcast tonight. A big description there of how you can support and where you can watch. And this, he's just doing so much. So all that will go in and tagged in. And you can support me over on the one website, crassfiles.com. Of course, I've made it really simple. I've just put everything into this one website. It's just a labor of love. And I do have members there. It's just $5 Australian a month. And that just helps me to pay for the costs and keep the website up and build. I'm going to be putting more content in for the members area, hopefully in the next day or two. And it's a real personal space in there. So just log on to the website and click on one of the support banners if you want to sign up. And all the information is there. And we do have a small Telegram chat as well, as Jay does. And I found that pretty good. People are over there chatting all the time. I love logging into there and just having a look at what's going up. It's really nice, and I don't see much censorship there, so it's been much better than Facebook or any of those. So if you are on Telegram, log into the Crasfiles chat, and I'll put Jay's Telegram channel up there as well. It's been a big year, Jay, of our work and doing this, and we've had so many discussions throughout this year, trying to keep our finger on the pulse and looking at what's going on, and all we can do is be honest in our approach and do, as I said, what we think, you know, suits us and what we may be good at. I find that I like doing this kind of podcasting and running my website. I find it a personal sort of thing and a hobby as well. I enjoy seeing my website up there. And you're more into visual and video kind of effects and doing that with the music overlays and stuff like that and having that impact. And others like just being on social media or doing all sorts of things. So all it is about here is staying true. And I always say to people out there, if you want to get involved in some way, shape or form, just do what you feel like you're good at and get on our channels and chat away or create your own one. There's so much to do. And we have not stopped here all of this year with Jay Wilderness. We've not stopped breaking down everything that's happening and what we're seeing. It really has been an incredible ride. And we have landed in December and we're here. And we're still here. We're not jabbed. we're still moving forward. Things are changing quickly, Jay. And I know, first of all, I'll bring you in to see how you are, but you've been a bit quiet with your videos, and I watched your last few that you put up the last couple of days, looked at those, and I'm sure you got more coming. But you've had a big move this year as well, which was a big shift in your life, a big shift over. And so tell us how you've been. How is that sort of more solitude going in that? Are you finding that you can still do your work okay? Are you finding more time in your day? How is it to be working in your place but in a completely different environment, because you've moved across the country to a very different setting, and but you still managed throughout this year to keep your videos going and everything, and stay positive, and research and everything, and do your day-to-day work and your chores and everything, and pay the bills, and you're going to be powering into next year. It's good to see. Tell us how you've been, how you're going in your new place, how that is all working out. And then we'll talk a little bit about what you're planning for next year and what you're thinking about.
Sure. Yeah, thanks for having me on, Adam. Nice one. Yeah, it's a good intro to the show, actually, because I haven't really been reflecting on, you know, I haven't got to that stage yet where I'm kind of like reflecting on 2022. But you're right, it's kind of, we're getting very close to that stage. Yeah, for sure. What another mad year. It's been a whirlwind for me, obviously, with the move and whatnot. Not much has changed in terms of my routine. I work from home, work in sort of the music sector, so not much has changed there, apart from it probably getting more busy with work, unfortunately, as the year goes on. Like, December is probably my busiest year for work. You know, all the musicians want to get their music out and scheduled and that kind of stuff. So busy times. But I think my excuse for less videos is down to that, essentially. Very busy with work, but also a shift that I've probably touched on in previous podcasts about just kind of moving more into taking care of myself and those people around me and trying to do positive stuff with, farming projects and agricultural stuff and trying to look after myself and build a little fortress around me, to kind of protect myself, future-proof things a little bit, become a bit more self-sufficient. So that's my excuse for doing less videos. But in terms of the environment, it's great. You know, it's there is a bit of solitude, but also I've managed to fall in with some good people who are totally on the same wavelength, and that happened almost Bit of serendipity, really, that it just sort of happened almost as soon as I moved up. And I think it was a bit of fight or flight kind of stuff going on there. It just kind of happened. I think everyone around me was kind of concerned I'd move out into the wilderness and I, disappear and no one would see me again, kind of thing. Be a bit sort of isolated, but actually it's been, yeah, probably might have more of a social life here than I did back in the city. So yeah, it's all worked out very nicely, actually. Pretty pleased with it, but yeah, I mean, I wish I had more time to devote to the videos now, but it's that's a struggle, unfortunately. But I'm getting there. I do have some stuff coming. Balenciaga is the one that's kind of interested me recently, that topic. So I'm halfway through something on that, and I should have a slightly different angle maybe than some of the stuff that I've seen. So that could be interesting.
How was the environment around you, the country and the weather and everything, and more solitude and everything, and how's that played on your emotions and and the way that you run your life? Have you found that there's more space in between, if you will, that you've got more space in the day, that things are more slowed down than where you were before. And it's interesting that you say as well that you kind of found more unique friendships or real connections than you did before, in a more of a urban or city environment. And we do find this, we have this since we're young, and you're in your 20s and stuff, and you're going out, you have like hundreds of friends around, everyone's drinking, and everyone's out and about, and you get older, and it all just everyone gets married and moves away and goes away and stuff like that. And now, of course, with the whole COVID psyop, and all the jabs and people, it really put a big nail wedged right through the middle of relationships and everything, and people. It's sort of like a tribe thing, if you got the jab or not. It's like a cult sort of thing, and people who just don't understand, that you can't really communicate with anymore or talk to. I find that even with some family and things like that, they're so embedded in the COVID in the COVID game. They're so embedded in that whole thing about the virus coming back and the variants and the gloves and the sanitizing and the masks and the news and everything. It's just they're not living their lives anymore. It's just like they're living in this fear state, and they've never once sat down to ask themselves some questions here. And I find it hard to get along with them, and I don't really have any anything to talk about anymore. I feel like a punching bag sometimes. I don't want to start a fight or anything, and so I just try to get along with people, and I'm like that. I mean, I'm Sagittarius, so I'm pretty kind of relaxed person in a way, but I'm fiery if you push me too far. But with people around, I think, you know what, I'd rather sort of spare the friendship or the relationship, and they waft on, about all this stuff that I see on the news. And it's not really anything new to me. It's like, I mean, come back to me when you've got some unique and personal and deeper opinions, and then let's have a discussion. I'm not expecting you to believe in what I'm saying. I just want to have a discussion with you, not this person that's mimicking the mainstream media. I study the media and I study the papers, and that's how I know straight away when I talk to people, because they repeat it, and they repeat the morning breakfast show vomit, and I know straight away. And I was like, I'm not the, I'm just not, I don't want to sort of give them my time when they're playing into this fear and this mind control with all the COVID stuff, and I find they're just so scared. They're so scared over the last couple of years with the lockdowns and everything, and it's really hard to drive forward some kind of relationship. And this is an interesting thing, because sometimes we lose these personal relationships and even family ones. And like yourself, you kind of move to another area, and then these relationships appear. And there's more worth and value in them. And that's a really incredible thing that you've found there. And this probably comes with the being on the land a bit more, and people being more a bit more in sync with nature and willing to question the system around them a little bit more. So how's that been for you?
No, you're bang on, really. I mean, I've touched on it before, I think, in the sense that when you move out into a more rural environment, then people are kind of already set up to be a bit more geared towards looking after themselves and stuff. So you kind of have to be by default. And me arriving up here as a city boy, like really, was a struggle. So you had to kind of learn a lot quite quickly. And it's good to have people around you who are sort of more experienced and been doing this most of their life, looking after themselves. And so there's a lot for me to learn. And they're willing to help me, and I'm helping them with stuff. So there's already this kind of, this sort of bartering kind of thing going on between a relatively small community of people, just an exchange of skills, or I'll do this for you and you do that for me without any real formality to it, and stuff like that. So it's good to me, because this is what I kind of moved up here for, exactly that, really. That's what I envisaged. And the fact that there's a kind of community farm project, which is essentially just looking to break even but produce a lot of food for the local community, and largely the guy who owns it gets to feed his family, and everyone chips in. No money is exchanged. You turn up and do a bit of work, and then you'll probably go home with a bag of food, and it's just perfect, really. That's how things should be. I mean, it made me laugh. Sorry if this is a tangent, but like King Charles, who's just come in, his recent move was to donate loads of fridges and freezers to food banks. So the optics of that are obviously just like, he's accepting the need for food banks and wants to, ramp up their infrastructure because they're clearly needed. But obviously, really, if you rather than spend however many billions over to Ukraine, you could have built sort of community farm projects in every sort of community, or at least encouraged it. And really, you can empower people to look after themselves and grow their own food and that kind of stuff, rear animals. So it's like the solutions are there and open to people. And I think moves like that, it just fundamentally show you that there's no real interest in solving the problems. And we are, the fact that most of us are kind of debt slaves. I'm not speaking for you, but that whole structure is there exactly by design. So yeah, breaking free of that, cutting out the middleman, growing your own stuff, sourcing your own wood and all that kind of stuff, that's what we need to work towards. Just having zero reliance on the system.
Yeah, it's I'm really shocked actually around where I live here at all the people doing renovations and things on their houses and building bigger and just spending money because they think all the COVID's over and the lockdowns are finished and they're getting in debt again, with high interest rates and everything. And that's one thing that we've worked on very hard here over many years to get out of debt. And not use credit cards, not have any mortgage, and it's taken a lot of pain and suffering, but a lot of debt we thought we couldn't pay back, but just not buying with buying within your means. Now I just do a very small shopping for the week, and I get everything as fresh as I can, and just what we need for the week, you know, and you get your gasoline and things and bits and pieces. But I just this whole structure of buying things you don't need. Mm-hmm. And we use like Gumtree in Australia. It's an online thing, and just you go in your local community and people are giving away things or selling mm-hmm. things really cheap, and you go and pick them up for cash. That's all we use. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't believe how much stuff is for free. You can fill an entire house for free in one day. And I'm talking from knives and forks to lounge, TV, beds, mattresses, cupboards, everything, even clothes. People are giving away bags and bags and bags of clothes, children's clothes, you know, just everything that you can think of on there. You just got to go and pick it up. People are moving or they're going overseas. People will go overseas and they'll say, just come into my house today at 2 o'clock and just take everything if you want, you know, and you're like, you feel like a burglar. Yeah. And, you know, I just don't see the need to buy, you know, I needed a phone recently. I just got a refurbished one. Mm-hmm. You know, my little one has just had nothing but hand-me-down clothes, which are worn and nice, and they're nice. Mm. And we got a sofa recently, and I picked up a free leather sofa. Must have been $2,500, that thing. And mm-hmm. a guy was giving it away because they're moving and everything had to go. And I went and picked it up. I chucked it in the car. You know, and it's just like, I'm not into really buying all this junk now so much anymore. And the most important reason why is that I just don't want to get in debt, not in these times. Not in these times. And I think that we got to be, you know, careful here with this. And just the important thing is to just live within your means and not go over, because those credit cards, man, you know, it's like an addiction at a casino. And that comes back to haunt you, you know. And it was really amazing last night. I was just after a podcast or whatever, I was just watching a late program here in Australia, and it was a documentary on Norfolk Island. In Australia, it's an island. It's a very different part of the world, and it was really amazing. It was kind of what you were talking about there, like how the islanders live and everything, and everything there is like farm to plate, you know, because mm-hmm. stuff's got to be shipped from the mainland, and so they get what they need, but all the food wise everything's grown and it's pulled out of the ground and put on your plate basically. And looking at the how nice the products were, and seeing these people just swimming in these beautiful water holes and living in these pine trees and the wilderness around is really, really beautiful in such a simple way. They don't want to go back to the mainland of Australia and go back to the cities or anything, you know. It was really nice to see that way of living, and everything they grow there is just so delicious. And these guys were going out off the beaches and just catching the most massive fish and the most beautiful fish you've ever seen, you know, and coming back, frying it up in butter on the pan and putting it in a bread and just munching on it, you know, was really good. It was an interesting documentary to see how life can be, you know, and how we can live.
Simple.
We don't need really all this technology, do we, mate?
No.
Where they're taking
us. But there's a beauty to that simplicity, and then there's a kind of a joy in the simplicity of it already, that, you know, you're just existing, and, you know, life shouldn't necessarily be easy and simple, you know. It's all the convenience that's around us, and it's all just a big distraction, and, you know, life should be challenging and interesting, and, you know, you're fighting for survival and whatnot. Not necessarily in an extreme way, but, you know, it's, just going back to basics is it's a really fulfilling experience for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. And as I get older, I want less, you know.
Yeah.
I just kind of think, geez, the simple things. And everything I look back on, you know, like I look back at the cars they used to build and the houses they used to build, and everything had so much beauty in it. Like you look at the old houses and old buildings and you look at it today, everything's crumbling and so cheap, and cheap materials and put up fast.
Yeah.
And you look at how we used to do things and it's not the same anymore.
It's interesting, know? That, isn't it? Like yeah.
The old stuff, world.
Like, wow. I mean, we used to make those buildings.
And you look at the natives as well. Like you go back to, you know, you look at some of these native structures, you know, back to the pyramids and stuff, and you're like, how on earth did they...
Exactly.
Did they do this like Easter Island and these places? You're like, how did they get those stones there? You know, and you see these. I've seen some of these documentaries looking in Bolivia. You know, and they way up, like God knows how many thousands of meters above sea level, they brought all these massive stones, and the stones are all put together and they're cut with precise, like they're precisely. You can't even, it's even beyond a ruler. It's just so perfect, you know. These things they did back then, you know, and you're like, what? Like, how did they even get them into these areas to do that, you know? And it's...
I think that's why the... have you heard about the Graham Hancock stuff?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
something up on Netflix, and it was labelled as, you know, potentially dangerous. But I think we're just sort of touching on why that is considered dangerous is because you do get exactly what we're talking about now, right? You just get people kind of going, well, what's gone wrong here? Like, you know, surely we were more sophisticated and more talented and technologically proficient then than we are now. Like, what's gone wrong here? So you get this whole collection of people like questioning, you know, why we're such Luddites at this point. We're supposed to be evolving, you know, but we're clearly not.
That's the question, is it? Have we actually evolved, or are we under the impression or the illusion that we have? You know, do we think we have when we're actually really asleep under some kind of spell?
Yeah. I suppose maybe you could argue we've evolved to the point where, this, you know, the powers that be have only got stronger and more sophisticated and whatnot, that they can engineer a, you know, the opposite scenario. So we stop progressing and just become this kind of slave class to the powers that be kind of thing. And there's almost this kind of satanic level to it with the architecture and stuff. Like if you look at the, I think it's like Obama's library or something in the States, and it's just this solid black box that just looks hideous and horrible. And there's almost like an effort, especially with the more modern tech architecture, where it just looks horrible. You know, they stick this stuff up on the city skyline and stuff, and it's just nasty. It's just not good looking. And it's almost like there's an effort to in that respect, you know. Yeah, it's very brutal, nasty, horrible architecture.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
That's what they want to see. Kind of strange, you know. Where's the beauty?
Expression, the human expression, like in music or song, or you know, in the vocal cords, you see that in modern culture with this, as we're talking about with buildings, there's no expression anymore. It's dead. It's really bad. They're cowboys, you know. They're just, as I said, they're just getting cheap materials and just plonking it up now. And I noticed, because I have some friends who have bought modern units, and I've been around them, and you know, my master builder, been in the building industry his whole life, you know, and some of these old school carpenters and builders, they, you know, they do things right, and you see these guys now, and you look at the industry now, and it's it's so many restrictions and just so over the top.
That's true, yeah.
You know, you can't even get on a building site with all this stuff they've got to do, you know? And yeah. It's a real mess bringing in Chinese workers and all this stuff and all these people. And I look at these buildings now and at first sight, you're like, what's this, you know? It's like this, you know, and they've got all this stuff going on, but the buildings are just falling to pieces. The structure, you know, the framework, the you yeah. see all in the corners and all the it's all falling to bits so quickly now. It's it's really incredible and you know, back in the day, I've saved a lot of articles like you were talking about with Hancock and stuff. I've been to Peru. I went to the deserts there and I saw all the strange lines in the sand and everything. And one of the biggest mysteries is out of Bolivia. Right. And they have these mystery stoneworks that nobody seems to be able to explain. There's one called Puma Punku. And this is like a stonework, and they say that it's a earthen mound originally faced with megalithic blocks, and they're saying that the blocks weigh like several tons each, and the red sandstone and the stones, they're cutting it in such a precise way that the stones fit perfectly into lock with each other, without rising mortar, you know what I mean? So they're saying the technical finesse here, like the precision displayed in the stone blocks is beyond astonishing. And not even a razor blade can slide between the rocks. So some of the blocks are finished to machine quality and the holes drilled to absolute utter perfection. Mm-hmm. And this is supposed to be, you know, have been achieved by a civilization that had no handwriting system, that were ignorant of the existence of the wheel and didn't have any modern things or anything like that. And you can see the pictures. I've saved files and files of this stuff. This is just absolutely astonishing how they cut the stone here and how they even got them up there. And they assembled the stone walls of this place and how they interlocked them together.
Yeah.
It was like a puzzle forming and so there's like load-bearing joints without use of mortar. So it's sort of beyond engineering. Cutting that heavy, thick stone down like that and making the points and everything flush. But how? When they didn't have any machines or electricity or any kind of cutting, what the hell?
I know.
This stuff baffled me for years. I used to get into this in the 90s, looking at Lake Titicaca and all that up on the high plateaus, the very high plateaus of Bolivia and stuff, where there's no trees or anything. They're like thousands of meters up, and they got these structures, and I'm like, what? How did they do those? That stone cutting. In that way, and where did they get the knowledge for that, and how did they drag it up there? And then you look at as you were saying, you look at where we are today, and they're putting stack and pack micro apartments up for people to live in, and you look at them, you're like, that is the biggest piece of shit I've ever seen in my life. And not only that, it is so ugly. Yeah. I don't even want to look at it. And they're putting them all through our cities and everything, with all these 5G towers looming over them now and all these panels everywhere. And I look at these buildings and these people paying $500,000 and $1 million and $2 million for an apartment in the city to look at the road. And I'm looking at that building, I'm thinking that is a piece of junk, and those people are going to have such problems, like with their levies and strata fees, you know, like with the lifts and things in the buildings, there's going to be so many problems there. And I can already see these new modern buildings are falling to pieces. Yet these people were supposedly Indians or savages, as we call them. So how did they, were they able to build these systems, and also irrigation systems, water systems, back then and everything that they did, you know. Really phenomenal.
Yeah.
And that knowledge, as you said, they're banning it. They're making it like it's a bad thing to be talking about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dangerous, right? I guess you've got this whole world of academia that kind of want to have very rigid explanations for everything. So, you know, anyone who comes in, they kind of prove that they're not necessarily interested in the truth or exploring other explanations. They just kind of want to stick to their guns and be an authoritative figure and not consider other explanations or evidence or whatever. So, yeah, it's kind of that whole academic world, isn't it, that sticks to their guns no matter what. But, yeah, those are the big questions that you'd want answered, wouldn't you? You kind of think that there would be an effort. I'm sure there are, like, people on the ground who are, like, dedicating their lives to this very topic, but whether they'll really be able to break through. So, yeah, the Graham Hancock thing, I only watched one episode of it. I know it's on Netflix, and there's a connection to this, like, Gaia channel, which is, like, highly suspicious to me because it's kind of this kind of new agey kind of world that I find a lot of people up here are kind of in that sphere as well. They're generally good people, but there's this leaning towards a kind of new agey worldview, which kind of ties in with a lot of the sort of the UN linked new agey stuff as well, the kind of one world religion or the sort of one world community spirit kind of thing. So yeah, kind of suspicious about a lot of that stuff. But yeah, these are absolutely the questions that you'd want answered, you know, like the pyramids, for example. We're no really closer to kind of coming up with a logical explanation for how these things were constructed, or, you know, seemingly a desire to find out.
That's right.
But I suppose you drift into, yeah, dangerous territory, don't you? Because you kind of, these kind of metaphysical elements or whatever that people don't want to go near, you know.
It's
the admission concept of miracles leads you to all sorts of problems for these people.
It's interesting, the new agey thing, yeah, and ancient aliens and stuff, yeah. It's the whole movement has been, I think I've talked about it before. There was a documentary I watched called Mirage Men about Richard Doty, I think his name was. He was a CIA guy who was introduced into the UFO movement worldwide. Started in the US. He was a master manipulator, and he was feeding the top people in the UFO movement information that was blowing their minds, you know.
Right.
Real information to get them on board, but steering them away like Alex Jones and these people do.
Mm-hmm.
This is classic PSYOP stuff. It's, you know, we're getting a lot of it in the truth movement now. Controlled opposition, but they're getting more and more smart. They're getting more and more cunning as more people wake up, you know, and start to clue on. So they've got to become more cunning, and they've got to offer you more truth. And that documentary, the filmmakers claim that they were just wanting to find the truth about the UFOs and everything. So it was an interesting piece. Indeed, this little man with the glasses, he was like implementing himself into the whole movement, you know. The whole UFO movement, you know, the idea that I got at the end of it is false, you know. Like, it's a really, if anyone's seeing anything, they're government crafts, you know, they're military stuff that they're experimenting on. And this UFO's coming from space, I don't think that's happening at all. I think this is an interdimensional thing, you know, interdimensional thing. And I think the space movies and everything is a psyop. And so it was really interesting because in that documentary, by the end of it, you kind of got this, what they were kind of saying is that, you know, the whole thing's basically a psychological operation.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something that is being hidden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something, a little square box at the end of it that's being hidden. There's something there that they're really hiding, and it's and they want you to be looking up at the night sky, thinking you're seeing a spaceship. You know, And so, but this is happening all over. These masters, these manipulators, these entertainers are being implemented into the conspiracy movements and alternative media movements, and they're just telling you everything you want to hear. Like
For
Alex
sure,
Jones and Stu Peters and all these people, you're like, wow, yeah, that's what I've been looking at, and you just get sucked in with them.
I
And
know.
then they've got all these documentaries now, the died suddenly things. We've been discussing that, and people are dying suddenly, like this is happening, but they're making documentaries that seem to be not right to me. So they know that we know, and so they're constantly pumping out stuff to try to in a very incremental and sneaky way to trick us
I was very
away,
suspicious about I was
.
very suspicious about that died suddenly thing, because even just the title of it, it's like, imagine what that now does to the search results for that particular topic. If you type that into Google now, you probably get reams and reams of like mainstream media articles going, Stu Peters, the convicted whatever, fraudster, who's made a documentary about this topic. It's like it just buries the topic, doesn't it? It just,
Or you
yeah.
think that, what I've always said is that when this kind of stuff comes out like that and it shows such extreme violence and such extreme stuff, then the general public will see that, and then they'll look at all of us who are trying to really find answers here and say, you're just crazy. And this goes amazingly back through my research looking at the Vietnam War, because the counter, the hippie culture was created to. When I look at that, and we've been talking about that on the podcast, all the music and how it was all controlled, all the Doors and everything, how all this
The
music
Dave
was.
Allen kind of legendary book on that,
That was Dave McGowan inside Laurel Canyon,
that's it.
Laurel Canyon book, how all this people emerged on Laurel Canyon to make this music that was all predetermined, and all the trips and everything, the acid and everything. But it was amazing to look into the Vietnam War, how the psychological operations behind that, but how the hippies were used in that way to steer Middle America, the Bible America, into thinking these people are crazy. Like, look at them, they're on drugs, they're dirty, they're having sex everywhere, they're taking acid. Why should we believe them? We're going to believe the government, and we believe that this war is a good thing. And that's just one example of what they do, how they skewer the, how they will they direct or drive the public mindset to be a certain way. And as more people wake up, which is exactly what we're seeing today, we are in a great awakening, and the system behind knows that this is happening, and that it knows itself that it must. It's feeding on a negative state of being, a lower vibrational force, and it must keep us in that fear state, because once we rise above that fear state, and our vibrational frequencies rise up, then it can't feed on us anymore, and it's got to go elsewhere. And so this is why we're seeing this overdose of these characters come in, and they're talking about what we're talking about, and it's just really crazy how they're mixing things up, because we are witnessing a situation now where people are being injected with really an unknown substance, and people are dropping, and people are getting ill, and people are dying, and they're getting sick from this stuff. And it is happening, and it's on the media, and everyone knows about it. And then they're making these documentaries to kind of make you look crazy, because you're crazy because you're bringing it up. So it's really it's creating a very a messy rabbit hole,
It's how, yeah, it's how you sort of communicate these things, isn't it? Because I think that the starting premise for the Died Suddenly was kind of an opening dialogue about basically setting the premise that this is entirely a depopulation agenda, which could be argued, of course. I'm not necessarily denying that, but it's like if you're trying to reach people with an issue, then you don't go in the deep end straight away. You're just turning people away, and that's indicative of this whole controlled opposition movement turns the conspiracy volume up to 11 or whatever, and makes us all look ridiculous. And then there's no like reasoned, nuanced debate in between. But I think there is with you and me and whatnot, and it's good that I think more and more people are kind of seeing that there is an effort to similarly as to the other side, the COVID cult, there's brainwashing going on there, and there's just as much going on the other side in the so-called conspiracy movement as well. It's just exactly the same. You've got these controlled figures who are the equivalent of, the talking head that goes on and tells everyone to get vaccinated, and it's 100% safe. Like it's the same operation operating on both sides. So really, and the Kanye West stuff's obviously really interesting because that strikes me as like such a clear kind of psyop. The fact that he's doing his little tour around all the kind of right-wing commentators right now.
Let's
It's like
just as we finish up the podcast tonight, let us I want your thoughts, Jay, on the K this information, Kanye West stuff, Alex Jones wearing the balaclava and all of this and all this stuff that he's talking about. We're seeing a lot of this at the moment. And what else are we seeing? We're seeing Elon Musk as the savior. He's suddenly bought Twitter and now he's releasing all the secret tapes and everything on Hunter Biden and everything. This is really and what have I been saying, folks? As more people wake up and more people identify what's really going on here, and they start directing their energy towards it, this system's going to starve out, and it's going to become desperate, and it's going to feed you all this stuff to make you think that it's on your side. So you're like sleeping with the enemy. This is really interesting. This was fascinating to me to see this. What does he call himself
Who,
now?
sorry?
Kayan
Kanye
West.
West.
What does
I
he
think
call?
it's just Yee, isn't it?
Oh,
Like,
yeah. When he went on Alex Jones' show the other day, classic counter-intel, like psychological operation, this guy. He went on there with the balaclava. Give us your thoughts on this. Let us have it. Let us have it.
Well, so first of all, that mask was like a Balenciaga mask, so that was interesting in itself. Like that's literally from that company, funnily enough. But yeah, no, it's the thing that struck me with the Kanye West thing is one thing that's kind of been brushed under the carpet now is the initial stuff that happened with his fitness guy. Is it Harley Pasternak, I think his name was, who was like Canadian military intelligence, supposedly Kanye West, like fitness dude. But he leaked those text messages from him, basically saying, he basically revealing that he was his handler. The fitness guy didn't like some of the stuff that he was doing or saying right now, basically threatened to institutionalize him. So if you think of a fitness instructor as someone who, you go to the gym with to get you fit, the idea that this guy is actually like basically in charge of his life and, threatening to institutionalize it and stuff, then that's a handler, surely, And so he's obviously distanced himself from him and has now seemed to have fallen in with the arguably involved with the January 6th, stuff is Nick Fuentes and this Milo Yiannopoulos character who, seem to be his new handlers. And I doubt Kanye West is booking talks with Alex Jones and Glenn Beck and all the kind of right-wing talking heads, that he's probably being handled by a new set of people now. And I guess my theory is that actually there's an effort to ridicule and topple Trump because DeSantis is going to be their next figurehead. So that was my theory on it anyway, because there's a lot of stuff happening with Trump now, and I think that there's this effort to kind of like turn against him and put all the spotlight on DeSantis, but also you have at the same time this kind of anti-Semitism stuff like rising up, and I think there's almost an effort to ramp that up to such an extent to A, put pressure on like Elon Musk as the head of Twitter now to basically saddle up with the ADL and implement their vision of what it means to be anti-Semitic and adopt that definition or whatever, which also includes anyone who says refers to Zionists. They want to put that on the under the banner of being anti-Semitic. So there's a lot of that sort of stuff going on as well. But yeah, I think Kanye West has got new handlers and he's playing out a role and making us all look ridiculous and kind of saying the occasional thing that, many people would agree with, but because of that, you obviously get a whole community of people who are suddenly, love Hitler or something because they agree with Kanye West on certain things. So it's also this domestic terror bill in the States that they want to bring in, I guess. It ties in with that, where they just get to categorize white Christian Americans as domestic terrorists. I think there's a lot going on there, isn't there? But I
There
think
is,
that's
yeah.
those are the things that stood out to me.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. They're doing that in Australia too. I know in Victoria he's working with Jewish lobbies to basically criminalize anything said. They're bringing all these Holocaust museums and everything. It's really
Wow.
crazy. I don't know if Elon Musk is actually Jewish himself. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think he is, no.
There's a lot of in and outs. It's hard to say, but as you said, yeah, this is a way for them to stamp that out. And it's really weird to see this huge US musician come out like this suddenly. It's almost like he's blowing a gasket, isn't it? And as you said, he's got new handlers there. It's like we've been talking about this recently, that the system seems to be malfunctioning or something, as more and more people put their focus on it and wake up. It seems to be malfunctioning a little bit, and we're seeing that very strongly. I mean, that is just crazy. And all this stuff that you mentioned there, it is really insane, but maybe it will be used, maybe it eventually will be used to stamp out more of our rights and freedoms to
Yeah, I
freedom of
think so.
speech and everything. Yeah,
And
problem, reaction,
we've already
solution.
got a, yeah, exactly, yeah. We've already got a bet running as well, haven't we? I think from a couple of podcasts ago, we'd agreed to bet that like Kanye West would be in sort of a courtroom at some point over comments made about like George Floyd and that sort of stuff. So,
Well, yeah, you also
yeah.
said that this guy's obviously under mind control, and like he's got handlers, yeah. So what's going on now? And will they drag him over the coals?
Another series set of really high-profile court
Well,
cases
this is
that,
what happens to you when you say that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, exactly. Just more fear and stuff, putting people in boxes, categorizing them as domestic terrorists and that kind of stuff. Because I think the US have already got the bill in place, haven't they? They're just looking for enough kind of terroristic activity to really come down hard,
It's
but
right. Yeah.
clearly the Christian Americans are in the crosshairs.
That's right. They're doing it here in Australia and in New Zealand as well. Basically, they're getting to the point now where it's if you have any kind of opinion, they're basically saying in New Zealand, if you're questioning the authorities on COVID or any of this, if you're questioning the vaccines, you just you're this terrorist, and that's the language we're seeing now. In these countries, very strongly, and I've been saying this for years, that people who are wanting to question this so-called reality around us that's been spoon-fed to us. Yeah, you're going to be turned into this, this kind of domestic terrorist. It's not the Arabs anymore and Osama bin Laden. No. Now it's you, average Joe, in your apartment. If you've got a podcast or you've got a website or you're on a social media chat and you're questioning things. And
exactly.
The state of affairs around you, you know. You're suddenly now this, this is thought crime stuff.
I mean, it's scary, right? Because, I mean, it's fundamentally just like putting the crosshairs on literally your own people. Really, like the government just turning against your own people. And I did notice in the UK, there's, you know, Serco, everyone's heard of Serco, basically run the prison system and all that around the world. And they have, they basically have a pitch up to UK landlords to basically say, we will pay your rent or, you know, pay the rent for like 5 years, but we want to move out those people and move in people from abroad. So they will guarantee landlords revenue for like 5 years, no matter what. But they want to move in immigrants, basically. So, you know, there's a system set up to kick out the natives and move in people from abroad.
That's right. I exposed that here on the podcast years ago. Under the, was it the Abbott government? It was one of those. I think it may have been Tony Abbott around that time anyway that we found out. And this was in The Guardian, unbelievably, and in some of the biggest newspapers it had to get exposed. But basically it was about because Serco, which is a British company, like a contracting arms dealing sort of, all this kind of stuff that they do. They've been building all throughout Australia these very futuristic high-tech prisons to the point where a lot of people are worried about what these prisons are being built for. But one thing that Serco do is that they build detention centres for migrants.
Right.
And these can be offshore Australia or onshore. And then when I started looking into this and I started looking at the contracts, I found out that Serco are doing deals with the Australian government for putting migrants, coming on the boats or whatever, you know, through these criminals who say come to Australia, you know, and they get them on the boat and then wash their hands with them. They get, for each one of them that get put in these Serco detention centres, the Australian government are making money from the contracts. So people were confused about why they're just locking up all these people from different countries that are trying to get into Australia or on the mainland. Why don't you just send them home? Why are you putting them in these detention facilities? Well, this is because Serco and the Australian government are doing deals. And they're getting paid money for each one that they put in, and they're just spreading them everywhere. But apparently, some of them are very sophisticated and high tech sort of stuff. And they're putting them throughout our country. These I forget what you call them. They are I forget the name. They're detention. They're prisons. They're putting prisons in, but they're they are really high-tech ones, and they had a name for it, and I can't remember it now, but I did cover it years ago on the podcast, and I was looking at Serco because a lot of the listeners and a lot of people who were commenting on the channels at that time were asking about Serco, and, and then some people were sending me some links, and I just started digging into it and found out that they were, you know, a British company that, you know, they make... they're in weaponry and all sorts of things. Yeah, huge. Like and contracting. Yeah, it's and as you said there, yeah, here they are, like moving out the natives. The European whites out of out of their city environments and moving in Africans and Asians and Middle Eastern people into these city environments and moving the locals out, what they're doing in Europe, and it's all done on this contracting. So this is a deep one. I don't know if you're doing any videos on this or if you look.
Yeah,
It's
it's one of
probably,
our,
I don't know how you're going
yeah.
to do that.
It's
It's
probably
a deep
worthwhile.
one.
You're right. You're right. You're right. Yeah, because it's something to
What
raise
you could
awareness for,
maybe
isn't it?
dig up, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's astounding. I put up a tweet about it yesterday. You can probably
Yeah, I'm
see.
getting a lot of feedback, buddy, from
Yeah.
it as well. And a lot of people on our channels are posting about Circa all the time and they're wanting to know more. And I was thinking, who
Yeah.
can, maybe we can expose this a little bit more,
Yeah.
put it
Yeah.
out
Yeah.
there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd be interested in touching on it, raise awareness. Because I mean, the pitch that's on their website, you can just type in Serco landlords offer or something like that, and it actually has a full web page sort of basically pitching it to landlords. They're very open and transparent about it. It's like pretty astounding, really, you know, because everyone that can kind of see through the veil and see what that leads to is that, yeah, you know, landlords are incentivized to remove current tenants from the houses because they're guaranteed like 5 years worth of rent from Serco with no hassle. They become the landlords, you know. You own the house, but you make Serco the landlord and they'll just pay you for 5 years. So it's like any landlord is probably going to go for that for the most part because it's guaranteed revenue with no hassle at all. So it's really problematic. But yeah, you're probably right. It's worth touching on that. Getting a video out there,
Yeah,
but yeah,
that's a
I'll
bit
get back on
deeper,
it.
isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty, yeah, probably won't get many views, but you know, it's all good, yeah.
When you've got these kinds of companies like Serco building prisons and detention centers in Australia, like
Yeah, scary stuff, scary stuff. There's a lot of people that obviously think that also, and I kind of agree to an extent, that there's probably a portion of these people that are coming into the country that could be nefarious in some way, or they could be, you know, paid agitators, because I think we all know where things are going, especially in the city, is that this manufactured pushback and that kind of stuff on certain topics. So you might find a lot of people who are just like single men pouring into the country, and you're like, what's going on here? And then you start to see these types sort of on the street causing trouble and ramping up, you know, pushback and stuff. So there's a lot of
It
suspicion around
causes
that.
division
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
in the culture. I mean, in Australia, because being a young country and not too big, mostly multicultural sort of stuff has worked here. It's been okay, mostly from Europe and stuff, but it's worked all right because we're not a big country. But when you're looking at London and New York and these places and what you're talking about there, yeah, and implementing this, these young men who don't want to work and who come from violent backgrounds and stuff, it drives a wedge through that culture that's been living in peace, and it's just they just don't belong there, and it doesn't work, and there's no infrastructure set up for them, and it becomes a mess. We're seeing this in Sweden. Sweden now the most violent crime in Europe, and you're like, excuse me, what? And I've seen documentaries where Australian crews went in and they were immediately attacked, and the rape and violence there, and these migrants, African migrants and stuff. It's clearly n not working, and especially when you get extremist Muslim kind of people coming into European culture that's pretty free flowing. It doesn't work. And it hasn't worked in London as well in these places, because the normal culture, as you said, it's been pushed out or pushed away, and they're moving further out. And it's been tipped over, and this structure isn't working. There's no planning behind it. They're just opening the door in Germany and these places as well. Germany's an extreme case, and it's not kind of working. And there's no, and no one seems to care, and the governments are. This is why I go back to Serco. It's just such an important thing what you bring up there. This is really interesting what they're doing, as you said there, with the housing and stuff, and bringing in these people and pushing the people who work there and know the cities out. It's it's um and it's it's putting that balance off. It's And we get labeled racist or whatever for talking about it. But
that's the thing,
How they stop the conversation. They stifle debate, don't they? You know, you're anti-Semitic, you're racist, but hang on. No. Like, you can't go to China and just buy businesses and live there freely. You can't go, what would we do if we went to some of these other countries and tried to push them around and do things and take over? Mm. I mean, they wouldn't accept it. And why are we doing this in our Western or European countries? It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Sweden is one of those examples where it's nightmarish and it's not working at all. So it's definitely one to continue looking at. But I am glad you brought up that Serco thing, because it's
that is a
real that's an explosive one.
It needs to be put out there.
Able to actually get any goodies on that. So if you're able to, I know that will be very, very popular one. A lot of people over many years are saying, who's Serco? Yeah. Like, you know, kind of like Vanguard or BlackRock. These kinds of things, you know, these kinds of institutions. But, you know, the Serco one is like, tell us more, what's going on? I'm like, I'm trying.
I'll do a deep dive on it.
With the way that you do things, it might be a good way to show people kind of here. Yeah. But Australia's a different beast with Serco. I don't know what kind of contracts they're doing. It is a crazy one here, because we have the detention centres, as I said, that are run through Serco, and these are people being imprisoned here that we don't need here, that we don't want here. They need to be going home. We shouldn't be putting them in there, or they should be going through our laws or in our system to try and stay here and get a passport or whatever. Just let them do that, but don't put them in prisons. That's ridiculous. Who's making money here? And that is cruel and it's inhumane. And we don't want that, no matter where they're from. We don't want people put in these prisons here in this country because they tried to get here on a boat. The people who put them or lured them on those boats are criminals. And they told them that they took their money, their life savings, and they said, come to Australia. You know, and they think that they're just going to come to Australia. You're not going to come here, because it's just brutal. And and then they imprison them. And it's like, well, who's making money off these people who are just living their lives over there on Christmas Island and in these places in these detention centres? And why are these detention centres being built, and why are they being held there so long? There must be money involved, and that's what got me into Serco and the Australian government. You know, and so this is very interesting. They're making a bit of money on the offside here. So this is a deep, deep dive. The Serco thing, and it's something that no one wants to talk about, or they're a bit scared to. You being in Britain yourself, and over there in the UK, you know, and you already have a good look into this company, and what they actually do is something that I want to explore into next year, and put this information out there. Indeed,
I'll probably work on that. Yeah, you've given me the motivation, I think.
Jay. You can do it.
Yeah. It might take a while, but
unbelievable. What's really incredible anyway, before we finish up tonight, is the incredible power structure that so few have. I think that's what I want to look at next year as well, you know, like how our entire lives and everything we see around us is controlled by so few. It's just such a minority, you know, and how they're using money and power and military and police and propaganda and news and TV and everything to just keep the planet saturated with this kind of fear state and propaganda. And if only people would start to wake up and see what's really going on here and direct our attention to who's really doing this and really start to look at things a bit deeper, you know, then this system would be running scared, because there's billions of us, billions.
Yeah.
And they're keeping us all under mind control and all in this fear state, you know, and they're keeping us infighting and, worried and in this kind of permanent bogged down state of fear, really, basically, you know, it all is centered around fear, and where we can't really truly wake up and live our lives and be really free. We're always kind of in the quicksand, trying to keep our heads above it, you know, and breathe. And while they sit on the top and use us all as this kind of batteries. And, you know, I think that's changing. And I think that's why we're going to see a lot of this. We're going to see a lot of desperate behavior. And we're going to see this malfunction take place and a lot of weirdness. And I said this ages ago. We're going to witness this very high strangeness, weirdness, malfunctioning, weird players being implemented, stuff that doesn't make sense. And I think this all adds up that the system itself is starting to crack and fall to pieces. And I think their time is up. At some point, their time is up. And I think we're just got to stay positive and keep moving forward and keep learning. That's what we're here to do. And keep doing what we think is right. All we know is right. So it's going to be really interesting 2023. I'm going to try and get you on towards the end of December if you are around or available. If you are not, we will come back in 2023 anyway. You want to polish off the podcast tonight, buddy, with letting us know, our listeners know your information, and I'll put it all up as well.
Yeah, thanks again, Adam. Good to catch up, and I should be around end of December. So,
all right, we'll sort one out.
Then, late December. But Jay Wilderness, Jay Space Wilderness is the tag, and pretty much available on most platforms, including like Substack, Rockfin, YouTube, all that kind of stuff. So been very quiet lately, but I should have some new stuff going up soon, probably on that Balenciaga topic. And thanks again.